Welcome back to Forward Pressing. It is an ugly Sunday morning. May the 5th be with you. Wait, that was yesterday.
May the 4th. Yeah, we missed the 4th.
Yeah, it's supposed to be May the 4th. But I'm Kevin. I got my boy Yanis over here. How you doing, bro?
Happy Sunday. I'm doing good. Yes, sir. We're here.
It's an early morning. So for context, it is 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Yanis is 2 hours behind me. He's in mountain time. So he's in Calgary. 2 hours before me. So 7:30. We have tried multiple times to record at this early hour in the past. And somebody doesn't wake up. But today's different.
And it's, guess who it is?
It's not me. The amount
all
of
right, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm a sleepyhead sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But hey, today's a good day because you woke up. You're ready. Ready to go.
New year, new me.
Year, new you. All right. Biggest thing we're gonna talk about today is Champions League because I think we had some pretty wild games, especially that one involving Mbappe and Sancho. Man of the match, Sancho. Talk about the Europa League. A lot of the leagues are kind of finished at this point. I think Madrid just secured mathematically La Liga. Leverkusen secured the Bundesliga a while ago. Man City kind of feels like all but finished, unless they choke one of these last few games. Inter has a Serie A. Like they're all pretty much settled, right? PSG won La Liga. I don't think it's mathematically over yet, but I mean, it's over.
It should be.
Just one tidbit before we talk about the Champions League, though. Girona is still second place of La Liga. It's kind of surprising to me. I mean, I feel like we talked about this maybe a couple months back, where we were like, oh yeah, look at this team, like they're doing well, but like they're gonna fall behind like the Barcelona's and Atletico Madrid's. But they're still hanging up, like, second place. Pretty impressive for a team like that.
Not only that, but, I mean, guys, we could speak about them now. They beat Barca again yesterday, mm-hmm. and they actually secured Champions League, too. So they're in the Champions League next year.
Yeah. I mean, there's a pretty big gap. It's like Madrid is ahead of them. Madrid's in first by 13 points. Then it's, like, Girona and Barca, 74, 73 points. And then it's, like, Atletico Madrid, 67 points. Like, there's, like, a huge gap, even between just the top four. For La Liga. Interesting.
Which is, but I mean, for Girona to be considered in the top four is, I mean, it's a massive achievement for them. So congratulations. I'm excited to see what happens because, they play very well. Mm-hmm. So they could present a threat in the Champions League. I don't know. Obviously the group will have to be made and whatnot. So we'll have to see what happens there. But they could be a dark horse for a, not necessarily a deep run, but like, if they get past the group stage, it'd be a great achievement as well.
Yeah, definitely. This wasn't in our layout, but now that I'm here, I want to ask you, like, do you feel like there's been a little bit less competition across the top five leagues this year? Because I'm looking at the Serie A, too, and like, Inter's in first place with 89 points. In fifth place, you have Roma with 59 points. There's a 30-point gap between first and fifth. There's a 20-point gap between first and second.
I don't know if there was less competition, but I can definitely say that the race for the Champions League for most leagues was more interesting than the race for first.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. Like, the City, I mean, the Prem race was interesting because it could have gone either way at some point. And it is still interesting because it's actually mathematically not over yet. But, like, the France, for example, like, Brest, B-R-E-S-T, let's get it right, is like in second place right now, and they might make Champions League too.
They're actually not in second place, they're in third place.
Yeah, like that's a team we've never heard of until now. Like I heard about them before, obviously, because watching the game and whatnot, but not to the point of like making Champions League. And like, even in Serie A, you could say every team that is qualified or is about to qualify is known already, but. You look at a Girona, for example, in La Liga, like that wasn't expected to happen. So there's definitely stories that are mm-hmm. Being made in those leagues. Even Bayern Leverkusen winning, that was not expected. Yep. We never. This was supposed to be Bayern's league. Now Leverkusen might be able to win one, and who knows, they might win more. So I think overall the race for Champions League, or I guess the race for Champions League qualification has been more interesting than the race for first in a lot of leagues, just because some of the race for first are already finished. But
do you think Leverkusen finished undefeated?
Honestly, the way that they keep getting draws at the last
minute, getting close. It's kind of worrying. I know.
But, I mean, I think they might pull it out. Even, I mean, Roma was a bit more comfortable, but the games before that, like, 90+1, 90+2, 87, 86, like, they get last-minute goals, for real. I think they're going to be able to pull it off, though, because I think they have, like, one more game left?
No, they have 3 games left. They play Frankfurt, VfL Bochum, and Augsburg. And the best team there is Frankfurt. They're in 6th. Yeah. And then the 2 other teams, Bochum and Augsburg's 9th, Bochum's 14th. So
I think
not the crazy competition, but anything can happen.
I mean, it's still I mean, they were playing not so great competition. It's still kind of having to draw. The Karabakh draw is still the craziest one to this day, like the way it happened. But I think for them to be considered one of the greatest achievements of football, they would have to win. They would have to not lose. So I think it stains a little bit if they have the loss on the record.
Definitely.
It's a great season. They already have the trophy, but
I know. But would you consider it a treble if they win the Europa, the Bundesliga, and the DFB Pokal?
It is a treble.
Yeah, no, it's not the Champions League, obviously, right? But
I mean, treble to treble.
That's true. But the final for the DFB Pokal is at the end of the month. I don't even know who they're playing. They're playing, I don't know how to pronounce that name, FC Kaiserslautern?
Yeah, Kaiserslautern. I think you said it semi-right.
Okay, big boy.
FC Kaiserslautern. It used to be in the
Bundesliga. I don't know much about them at all. So
I remember them being the Bundesliga a while ago.
That's what I'm saying. Not even in the Bundesliga, and in the final. I feel like that never happens. When was the last time in the FA Cup that the final didn't have a Prem team?
It almost happened this year, but the ref kind of gave United the win.
We're not going to talk about that.
What a game that
okay.
was.
Champions League. Which one you want to talk about first?
The one that I got right.
So Bayern Madrid?
Yes.
All right, give me your thoughts. I thought this was... So Yanis texted me. I asked him what he predicted. He said 2-2. I said 2-1 Madrid with a late goal. There was a late goal, but just for the equalizer. This is honestly... It was closer than I expected to be. But I don't know. I feel like I'm not even surprised, because I feel like The way Madrid play sometimes is like they play with a low margin of error, right? So games like this are not super surprising. But Vinicius really turned up.
It's not just that. I think I'd say the best way to describe it for me would be that it's another game of Madrid showing that they don't have to be the best team to get a result.
Exactly.
You mentioned Vinny had a great game. I mean, he made 2 great action. Kim Min-jae had a long game against him. Even though that was 2 mistakes from Kim Min-jae that got Vinicius in those open areas, but he did the work. But for the most part, I mean, not just that, but Kim Min-jae had a pretty good game outside of those 2 mistakes. But for the most part, Bayern was a better team. And they probably are going to have regrets about not being able to, not necessarily end the tie, but at least take the advantage to Madrid. Because now you go to Madrid and it's like, it could go the same way, but at home, Madrid is just tough to beat.
Yeah. I think Madrid are going home thinking they took care of business. Obviously, they would have loved a win, but they leaving it all to play for at the Bernabeu, like, I think that's a win for them.
Yeah, I guess for Madrid, is the goal is to go to Bayern and get goals, but also not lose. If you're gonna lose, don't lose considerably, and they did that. So, I think Bayern has a lot. I mean, Bayern showed a lot of good things. I think Sané probably had one of his best games this season. Harry Kane did what Harry Kane does, but specifically like Sané, to me was. I mean, he was a standout player, not just for his goal, but his work rate and whatnot. And it's interesting because he didn't have such a great season overall. There's a lot of question marks surrounding him, and it seems like he's coming back up at the right time. So next week, I'm expecting the exact same thing from Sané. Who knows, maybe it'll help them, but I still have Madrid going through.
I would also bet on Madrid, but I feel like, Bayern, obviously they're keeping it. It's not like they lost the first game, right? It's not like they're at a heavy disadvantage. It's a tie game. Like, anything can happen in one game. One early red card, one like penalty decision at some point flips the whole game on its head. I don't think they're gonna be too upset either, because I feel like they'll have thought they were underdogs going into this. Madrid's the Champions League juggernaut. So I feel like they have stuff to look forward to as well. And it's gonna be a close game. I'm really excited to see. I just want the best final possible. I just wanna watch some good football. So I think we're gonna get that with our second game.
Yeah, fun fact though, did you know this was, I think Madrid and Bayern is the most played Champions League matchup in the Champions League history?
Not surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean they've played there so many times. It's two historical clubs. But yeah, I want to say Madrid, but it's gonna be such a good game, I think. Because at 2-2, nobody can really like play defensively, play cautious. They have to go for it. Both of them have to. So I mean, they're gonna be cautious, but it won't be a park the bus situation.
Agreed.
Now we gotta talk about. Should we talk about the disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, PSG, listen, this was my pick when the Final Four got shaped up. I picked them to win the Champions League. I put money on it. Not to advertise that, but them losing to Dortmund is, this is not like unacceptable, but almost. I mean,
I
Dortmund
wouldn't
played
say
a strong game, because I don't want to take anything away from them, but PSG is clearly a better squad. I think everybody could get on board with that. But what we're seeing from Sancho, honestly, like, is, I'm happy for him. I'm also sad that we couldn't have seen this at United, but
at
maybe he
United.
just it's not possible to have it at United because of the way the team is structured and the other players around him. Like, at Dortmund, he can really be like a focal point there, and create some offense, where I guess the play doesn't necessarily have to go through him when we're at United. But it's just crazy, the dichotomy of his play from one club to another. It's just, I can't process it. I don't know how it happens for there to be such
Did you
stark
see
differences.
Rio Ferdinand comment?
No, what did he say?
He was talking about okay. He was talking about similarly to you how like why didn't we get this sort of performance at United? And then he was talking about essentially how mentally, if you're not in it, if you're not there mentally, it's hard for you to continue to produce like on the field and stuff. So I think him and you could definitely tell that he wasn't confident. The confidence was lost. Obviously there was the issue with Ten Hag and just be able to get minutes and stuff. But it's when you see Sancho, a confident Sancho, it's a different story. Like you could tell that he won the one. He doesn't do take-ons when he's the off his game. He did that, I think, 7 times this game. Nuno Mendes had a nightmare against him. So it's scary to see how confident a confident footballer can like do the
And
things he
that's what
can
they
do
signed
when
him
he has
for.
confidence. It's scary, and I'm not gonna say Euros, but I think he's probably one of the best in-form English players at the moment. Not because of just of this game, but if you look at even his highlights from the Bundesliga, like he's definitely stepped up a lot more since he's been at Dortmund. So in my opinion, not to a little, it's a slight tension, but I do hope that he stays, or at least doesn't go back to United, because I don't think it'll change, or it'll go back to what it was before.
The thing is,
especially if Ten Hag is still there.
The thing is, though, like, I think we saw this like with when Beckham went to Madrid too. You know, like one of these guys that is just like a star player, you know, like the main man for the team, carries the team on his back for a lot of the games. Like when Beckham was at United, like during his time there, he was one of those guys, right? Like just can make magic happen. When he's on the pitch, the game is always always winnable. And then he gets a move to Madrid, the Galacticos era, and he's coming into a team that had like Ronaldo, Figo.
You meant United.
I meant when Beckham left United to go to Madrid.
Yeah. Okay. And you said Madrid. Okay, I see.
Oh, no, my bad. No, I meant United. When he left United to go to Madrid, and then you kind of see he's talking about his like one of his first practices there, and he's like following the ball in this drill and whatever, and Ronaldo's about to score, and he tries to slide tackle to stop the goal, and Ronaldo just like puts his foot on the ball, stops it, watches Beckham slide right past him, and then taps it in. And then Beckham said, like, that's when he kind of had a realization that, okay, this is a different class of game here, you know? Like, I got to step up or I'm going to, like, get fucked.
On the bench.
And his start there was kind of, like, up and down a little bit because the fans weren't necessarily on board with him. They thought they just signed him for his, like, publicity. And that was a part of it. But, I mean, Beckham is a cool, top quality player too. So I feel you need to have that confidence in yourself and mental fortitude to rise to the occasion when you're presented with a challenge. And I think that comes with maturity and that comes with experience and like you said, like just overall confidence in your abilities. So maybe when Sandro comes to United, I'm not saying that we were a star-studded cast because we really weren't, that there was a clear opportunity for him on the wing where we needed a winger. But if he doesn't, like, you know, maybe he struggles a little bit in the beginning and then it starts, instead of rising to the occasion, he doesn't, the confidence gets shot a little bit. It's hard to come back from that at that point. And then going back to Dortmund, he goes to a familiar place where the expectations aren't as high. He doesn't have all the pressure on his shoulders and then he can be himself again. And you see that he still has that quality. I don't know. I'd still want him to get a crack at United again and see if he can change. But
I think it'll be hard for him to go back to United. Just
I mean, he's on loan, so technically he could. Like, we can just, when his loan expires, he'll come back. But I don't think he's going to want to.
Yeah, the relationship for Ten Hag seems like it's over at this point. And also, imagine
that's more of his fault, because there was an attitude problem too, right? Like, he didn't want to apologize for being late to practice or something like that. And then that's going to, like, ruin his career at a club. Like, it's wild.
Like, he definitely stood his ground, but he stood his ground and look, I mean, the results are there, right? Like, even if he was in the wrong, which we don't really obviously know because we don't know all the story, the results, the fact is he's back in form and United is not so much back in form compared to him. Imagine if he goes back with the Champions League.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, definitely. But if he comes up with the Champions League, it'd be wild.
I agree.
But, I mean, going back on the game though, like, I thought Dortmund stepped up for the occasion.
More they for did.
The PSG did.
Mbappe was kind of silent. I don't think he had a good game at all.
No, I think he had one occasion. One or two occasions at the most.
So
I think Dembele was also a bit very quiet, surprisingly, considering how well he did against Barcelona. Yeah, if those two aren't stepping up for you, PSG's not winning.
That's I mean, what do you expect for the second leg? Do you think PSG wake up and make this a game or what?
Well, I don't know, because now I'm conflicted, because after hearing the news that Royce was leaving Dortmund, I don't know if I want PSG to win.
You think
anymore.
The script is in?
I think the script might be in, like, especially the way that the Dortmund played the first leg. Like, they played out of their mind.
Did Royce say where he's going?
He didn't say it, but I haven't. I mean, my guess is MLS, but he could stay in Europe. And my guess is MLS for sure.
Inter Miami.
Not Inter Miami. More so West Coast.
Did you see Inter Miami yesterday?
Yeah, I did see Inter Miami yesterday.
You mean the Messi show?
Yeah. I guess a good new Red Bulls team, too. Red Bulls is in form this season.
They scored early, and I was like, dang, Messi's going to lose? And then it was like five goals.
Five assists.
No, I mean, there was five goals. It was just like...
Yeah. It was very one-sided after that first goal from...
Extremely.
But, yeah. I think he hasn't announced it yet, but I'm assuming MLS, that's all. Because I don't see him... He's 33. I don't see who would spend a lot of money...
As an injury history.
Yeah. I mean, even MLS, you don't really want to have an injury history, but I think for the name itself, like, he could make a name in the league for... At least for... Kind of like a Bale situation, maybe a year or two, and then retire after that.
Okay, so let me ask you this. The only silver lining I see for PSG is that the next game is at the Parc des Princes.
Yeah.
They're down 1-0. The only thing is PSG. It's only 1-0, but PSG have not kept a clean sheet in 7 games. So if you're basically guaranteeing them to concede at least one goal, that means they need 2.
Yes.
You think they get 2?
I think they can get 2. It's just a matter of, like, you know how I mentioned how Madrid usually starts early and, like, they hit you in the first 15 minutes? And sure enough, that's kind of what happened this game. PSG sort of have to do the same thing. They have to be aggressive from the jump. It can't be a situation where you have to wait a whole half to get a goal or two. You gotta start, and you gotta start early. Because Dortmund is gonna try to go and score, come and score as well. They're not gonna try to park the bus, I think. That's not how they usually play. And, like, I think Luis Enrique is going to have to figure out the midfield. I think that's the key thing here, is getting that midfield right for this game. Because I don't think he got it right for the first game. He got criticized a lot for that. Maybe you play Asensio earlier. Maybe you don't bring Kangin Lee in. One of those two options. Those are some of the things that I heard. But he has to get that midfield right. Because if you're going to get that midfield right, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be a longer issue for PSG. And the Dembele and Mbappe have to step up. They have to step up. It's Mbappe's best chance to get a Champions League. If he ruins that, like, obviously it's a team loss. It's not just him, but it's not going to look good on him. Or at least he has to play better than he did the first leg.
Yeah, he needs to be a focal point.
Yes.
I think they'll show up too. Do you think this goes to extra time?
It could be. I could see that one go to extra time.
I can see it going to extra time, or I can see, like, PSG scoring like 3 goals and it just being over.
Yes.
One of those games. They get like an Mbappe goal, then there's a penalty, and then they get like another Mbappe goal, and that's it.
I don't know. Maybe Rose comes in and scores. Who knows?
Royce has another masterclass. I'll hope for that.
It's hard to predict. This one is hard to predict because you would think that because obviously now that they're at home, PSG now will have a better chance of getting a result. But Dortmund is playing with the energy of, like, we're doing this for Marco. How do you match that? I mean, we've seen when players play for something, it doesn't always work out. Case in point, Liverpool.
Yeah,
but maybe this time's a little different. But I'm still gonna say PSG.
I think PSG win it, and I think Madrid win it.
So we're still getting the final we want.
And those are the two favorites. So I feel like one of them is not gonna win. So
yeah, it's too good to be true.
Exactly, too good to be true, Liverpool.
And your bet this time has...
I have PSG winning it all, so I'm not feeling too comfy about that.
You gotta put your money where... I don't even know what the saying is anymore, but that's a risky
your mouth
one.
Is?
Yeah. That one. Put your money where your mouth
is. It's early for you.
I lost. Yeah, that actually makes zero sense to the conversation. I'm not thinking about it. Anyways, did you watch Europa League? The highlights, at least?
No, I didn't get the chance. But, I mean, I saw Leverkusen took care of business.
And Roma, yes. And then Marseille got the draw against Atalanta. Oh, I should say Atalanta got the draw against Marseille because Marseille should have won that.
They're at home. Should have won that.
Yeah.
I mean, all to play for.
All to play for in Atalanta for Marseille. I think it's going to be interesting. It's the most interesting tie because I definitely have Marseille going through. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but I really want them to go through the final. Yeah, I'm strongly biased. I think Atalanta had a great season, but I'm rooting for Marseille on this one. And I think Leverkusen just has it in the bag. Regardless of what happens, I think Leverkusen wins it. But I wouldn't want Marseille to challenge them in the final, see what happens.
I feel like if Leverkusen don't win at all at this point, it'll be disappointing. The only thing that kind of worries me is that, you know, they're still, I think if they have to prioritize the Europa or the league, they're going to prioritize not losing in the league.
I mean, the league's not, not losing in the league. I mean, the league's already done, so.
I know, but I'm saying, like, if they have the chance to protect their, like, they're undefeated in the league or the Europa League, I think they prefer the undefeated in the league.
Yeah. That's fair.
So that's like maybe they're going to split their resources a little bit.
But it's for a semifinal.
But their team is young. Like, they can afford to kind of like play a lot of games, I guess.
Yeah, plus the 11 doesn't really change that much.
No.
Like the bench is there, but for the most part, it's the same players.
These guys got the stamina.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Atalanta Marseille, that's going to be a tricky one because I feel like Atlanta have the firepower going back to home. I'd bet on them. But I don't know, Marseille, I'm just not as excited about them as you are.
I think Marseille in competitions like the Europa League, they kind of step up more than they would in the league setting just because it's a tournament setup. It's one game. I think they did a good job to get us somewhat of a result at home, even though they should have won. But the chances that they created, if they can convert in one of those, I mean, Aubameyang is going to be key for me. Aubameyang is going to be the key player for me in this tie because, if he goes all the way, Marseille goes all the way. He's pretty much the heart and soul of this team in terms of getting goals. So, if he has a masterclass, we're winning. If he has a disaster class, we're not winning. And Atalanta
I feel like it's tough to bet your whole win likelihood on a 35-year-old striker.
But he's delivered so far.
I know.
And it's not. I would say it's not just him. He just happens to be the focal point. But like,
yeah.
A guy like Illiman Ndiaye, for example, has to have a great game. A guy like Arit has to step up as well. I thought defensively we were good, and Bemba, Balerdi, Lopez have done the job. But for attacking wise, that's where we gotta. That's where things gotta be as good, if not better, than the first leg.
I agree. So you're choosing Leverkusen and Marseille?
Yes.
All right, respect. I respect it. Let's talk about some Prem a little bit, or just some other tidbits. But let's start with this. Leicester and Ipswich promoted. I think it's nice to have Leicester back in the league. After 2016, I feel like I miss them a little bit, you know?
I am happy that they're back. I didn't expect them to be this back this early, but it shows that...
I mean, back this early.
I didn't expect them to be back...
I feel like after 2016, I feel like they just become like a Prem staple, you know? You got
Yes. So I guess in a way it makes sense that they are back because most of their players did stay. Like the majority of the players that got relegated are still there. They think they've added a couple pieces. But I think the new coach as well, I can't remember if he was Pep's assistant or something like that, but the new coach was apparently brought a different philosophy to the game and that helped them as well. Vardy's still going. That's funny to me.
How old is Vardy now?
I think he's 30 plus now.
Yeah, no, he's got to be 30 plus. 35 plus. His story is crazy. Plus.
Yeah. Not just that, but you're right. Getting Leicester back in the league is great. I think I do like him having in the league. It did feel like we were missing the Leicester magic this year. So I'm excited to see what happens with them. Hopefully they secure the spot now. They don't like bounce again like they did this year, last year. And yeah, I'm happy for them. But Ipswich is an interesting story too.
Yeah. With Kieran McKenna, the United GOAT. No, but back-to-back promotions in the Prem for the first time in a long time. I think it's exciting. That's one of those teams that I feel like can easily just get relegated. That's the first season they're up. But, I mean, I'm going to be excited to see them play because they've been playing a really attractive style of football. Obviously, with the previous United coach link-up, I think it'll be an interesting point of conversation. But yeah, I think as long as they manage to stay in the Prem next year, it'll be a success for them.
Yeah. Because two promotions in a row is hard to do.
It's better in the championship, like in the League One and then the championship, like those are difficult leagues to outright win, you know?
Yeah. It's a great achievement, like I said. But can he now sustain that in the Premier League? That's going to be a question. Yeah. And still, obviously, there's going to be transfers being made. Obviously, the quality has to improve, even though they've done a great job so far. But, the Premier League is a different beast. So I'm interested to see if they can manage that. I think they can probably do better than what a Burnley did, for example. No shades to Vixen Company, but it just hasn't worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they can somewhat keep that attractive style of play and not so in the Prem, because that would be it would be a great addition to the Prem.
Do you think Company is done?
Most likely. They've
been one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
I think they've pretty much accepted, because they've accepted that they were going to get relegated. I don't know if Company's done, though. Because they could also bounce back sort of like Leicester in a way. But that'll be tough. Because if he was done, he would have been sacked a long time ago, I feel. Yeah. That's when they kind of...
I think he got them promoted, right?
Yeah, he got them promoted.
And they so I feel like maybe they give him another chance to do that again.
Maybe. Maybe they do. I mean, it's not that they do. It's not that they play bad. It's just the results just haven't been there. And this is a pretty young squad as well. And there's a lot of inexperience. And that can...
The Prem is tough.
The Prem is not something to play with. I mean,
teams like fight for, you know, top five, top six, and then like seasons later, like the next season, they are fighting relegation. It's like, it's a tough league to keep consistent on a year-to-year basis when you're not like one of the top teams with like a huge budget, you know? Like we saw Brentford like be one of the most surprising teams last year, and they're close to relegation now. They're like right above the relegation zone.
Don't tell me
Everton
that I'm kind
too, of the fall of Everton. Like Everton was like that team outside the top four, remember? And now
yes, feel that like was they, that they Everton used to be half. The threat of the top four.
That's what I'm saying. They were like the next quote unquote the next big club to like take a spot away from the top four, or before there was a big six, you know. And now they're a team that's in constantly fighting in the bottom 25% of the league. So
financial issues,
just a whole lot of things, right? But I'm looking at the Prem right now, and I'm looking. I was having this thought as we were talking about Ipswich being promoted and Burnley being relegated. Like, I feel like there's a couple of teams. There's more than 20 teams that I feel like we would love to see in the Prem, right? But there's a couple of these teams that I feel like don't have a staple place or don't have a history in the Prem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Forest is one of those teams that I really want in the Prem, right? Because they have a strong history. I feel like the Prem is better with them in it.
Nottingham Forest?
Yeah, Forest.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's other teams that I feel like I'm not too sad that they're getting relegated, like a Burnley, like a Luton Town, like a Sheffield. Like, I'd much rather have Leicester in there.
I think we don't know this. I mean, Luton Town doesn't have, or maybe we don't know Luton Town's story like that. I think we obviously know,
but I'm just saying in terms of like Premier League history. Yeah. Like I'd rather have like, I think it's more exciting to have Leeds in there. Like Leeds, Leicester. Who else?
Leeds, Leicester, I agree with that.
Those are teams that have like, you know, like some history in the Prem that I feel like it's fun to have them back in. And then there's those teams that have stretches of presence in the Prem but then get relegated, like a Southampton when they had the Pochettino era, Norwich, the Watfords, the Stokes.
The Stokes seems like a while ago.
It was. That was Peter Crouch era, you know?
Yeah. They had a defender named Ryan Shawcross that used to be an England team as well. I think Jack Butland was a keeper for them at that point.
Oh, yes.
They had a squad.
They had a squad. They named like three. But yeah. On the Prem, though, is the Golden Boot race finished, I think, after yesterday?
I mean, the league is finished.
The league is not finished. The league is not finished. It's like 90% finished.
Yeah, yeah. Listen,
Arsenal have 2 games left. City have 3 games left. Arsenal are 1 point ahead of City. So if City draw one of the last 3 games they have, it's neck and neck. It's going to go back to goal difference. Where Arsenal are ahead by 6 goal difference.
One of them happens to be against Spurs.
They play Spurs. They play also West Ham and Fulham. So one draw pretty much ends the title race for City. But Arsenal also cannot drop any points. And Arsenal play... Yeah. Who you guys play? You guys play United and Everton. Oh, United are gonna end your season. Yeah. I can't believe it.
I know, right?
We should watch that game together.
Is it next Sunday?
Yes. Okay, 11:30 for me, 9:30 for you.
See, I can't even wake up on time. Okay, we can make something happen. Maybe we'll just
FaceTime. You guys are 29 points ahead of us.
I feel like
But at the end of the day,
I feel like you have to mention that. We already knew that. You didn't have to mention that.
I'm just saying, it's going to hurt even more when we end your season.
When you say it like that, it sounds terrible. It does
but imagine we beat you guys and then like City lose to Fulham or something.
Dude, that would be crazy. If Fulham can actually pull it off, it'd be interesting to me. Although you mentioned the Golden Boot race, and I think Haaland has that. Credit for Saka, 16 goals is still a pretty good feat. I did want to talk about something, though, because I've heard rumors of Tuchel. Obviously, Tuchel is probably going to leave Bayern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you see it happen at United? Like, I mean, there's been rumors of him going to United, and I don't hate the idea. A coach with that much experience that knows how to win, because he knows he can't win, and at least make deep runs in competitions, like, I don't know. It could be. I like the idea of Tuchel at United. I think that it's. I mean, we don't know where he's gonna go next. He's probably gonna take a break or something, but he's gonna be in high demand. Like, I'm surprised that Liverpool didn't even mention him. They went straight for Arne Slot, which we didn't really talk about because we don't really know the guy outside of what he did with Feyenoord. But, what do you think, Tuchel at United? Yeah or nay? Or you still want to take it with Ten Hag?
See, like. I like Ten Hag, but no doubt we haven't had a great season. And I expected a lot more. And I would have expected to see at least a lot more improvement. So it's tough because some games were great and we've had so many injuries. So I don't know how much to put into that. Like, he hasn't even... He wanted De Jong, Frankie. He wanted Harry Kane. We didn't get either of them. Our center backs have been injured the whole season. I think a lot of his tactics relied upon like ball playing defenders, and we haven't had like Lisandro Martinez and Varane play together like the whole season. So I think that's also like
yeah.
What?
Injury concerns.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So I feel like a lot of the guys that are like integral to his style of play haven't been there for us, and you got to adapt because injuries are going to happen no matter what. But I don't know, there's still a part of me that wants to give him a chance and see with one more offseason if we can get players' health in check, bring a couple players in, see if something can happen. But no doubt that if he gets sacked, I think Tuchel would be like one of the more obvious options because I don't know who else. We've been through a couple managers. I don't even know at this point which style of manager we need most. Because like when we brought in Jose, it was the same thing. It was he knows how to win. And that didn't go as planned. Although we did win mostly under Jose. Like a second place and a Europa League, like that's the most we can hope for these days. So I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know what the alternatives are. Like a Ten Hag was taking a chance on a young up and coming manager who has shown in the Champions League and in other leagues that he can have success with young players, and you know we're giving him resources to do that same success at a bigger club, and it hasn't really worked out thus far. So I don't even know what the alternatives are. Like if you give me a list, I could be like, oh, maybe this guy, but Tuchel's not a bad option. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm just saying somebody's gonna pick Tuchel up eventually, and I would think I would think United would be on the in the in the on the list, the short list.
I mean, definitely. Do
But there's a
you
lot of
think
clubs
Ten
that could
Hag
get.
get sacked?
That's the thing. I don't know if he would get sacked, but you gotta think about it. Like United has new management coming in, so
The thing
what?
is,
I mean,
maybe
they
new
could.
management come in, and if they're willing to spend the big bucks like Man City, maybe we can give one more transfer window to Ten Hag with spending big bucks. We get Mbappe, you know?
But see, that's not. No, you're just being delusional. You are not getting Mbappe. You think you're gonna get Mbappe?
Oh, I'm joking, obviously.
Yeah, but to be fair, you guys didn't announce Madrid too. But I don't see what more you can really tell with Ten Hag. Like, I don't see. I mean, obviously, the injury crisis is massive, but I honestly think he has. One more year. And that's about it. Like, if nothing happens
I think
next
one more
year.
year is fair.
But if nothing happens next year, you're probably gonna have to. You're probably gonna lose Tuchel, which is fine. There's obviously other options, but
I mean,
you
who
have
if
to
not
give.
Tuchel, if let's say he gets sacked this summer and we're looking for a new manager. Tuchel is obviously on the short list, but who else?
I think if you could get De Zerbi out of Brighton. Or Ruben Amorim out of Lisbon, even though Liverpool wasn't
I
able to
mean,
do it.
those feel like the same level as Ten Hag, like when we signed Ten Hag, you know, except they weren't as accomplished as Ten Hag. Like Ten Hag
Yeah, but
brought the Ajax
that.
team to deep in the Champions League, won the league, so he was like that guy playing a really good style of football too. The fact that we haven't seen that style of football at United just shows me that maybe he just doesn't have the pieces. He wanted his midfield duo to be Frankie de Jong and Casemiro.
Yeah, that was never gonna happen. Never gonna
It's tough.
happen. I was gonna say Xavi, but he's staying.
I don't think I would want Xavi at United. I don't think that's a good fit.
Maybe you go for Xabi Alonso next year if he's still with if he if
That
Madrid
would
doesn't get
he
him.
no I Xabi Alonso is not coming to United. He'll
I
have
mean,
better
yeah,
off. He'll
he's
go he's
probably
going to
not.
Madrid.
Yeah.
But would I take a Carlo Ancelotti?
Well, I mean, does Ancelotti want United? Because I feel like he
No,
could have had
he
United a
does not
long
want
time ago.
United. But hypothetically, I
Yeah.
would take Ancelotti, even though I feel like we don't have a
Nobody
squad that suits his
would
style
say
of
no to
man.
Ancelotti, though.
This man went to Everton and then rebounded to Madrid, like right after taking the Everton job. It's wild.
That's still funny. But anyways, we'll close the chapter on this and see what happens with Ten Hag. I do want to mention though before we end, it is Champions League, but it's not. It's a CONCACAF Champions League. So if you remember Wilfred Nancy, he used to coach Montreal. He now coaches Columbus Crew. They won the league last year. They've actually just qualified against Monterrey in the Champions League semifinal. So they're in the final. They beat Monterrey in the Champions League semifinal. So they're playing Pachuca, I believe, in the Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League final. So big accomplishment for MLS, but especially a big accomplishment for Fernandez, Columbus Crew. So something to watch for. They might be able to actually make it to the World Cup Champions League. What is it? World Cup, World Champions Cup? That usually happens in Asia. So it's something to look out for. But Wilfred Nancy is just coming, just climbing the ranks,
Maybe he eventually gets a. Right, yeah, maybe eventually he gets one of those European jobs. Do you think?
Or Canada,
Canada would be nice. We need somebody.
Well, we need a lot. We need an actual management because
We have a multitude of issues.
We can't even have a good. We don't even have a good website.
I know. It's sad. Did you hear that story? Yeah, our website was. We lost like the domain to our website. Which is fucking wild. That's
crazy, bro. Who said?
It's embarrassing.
Look at the Americans. They have a new setup in Georgia, a new facility. We can't even. We have a domain issue. Holy. I'm excited for the friendlies against France and Netherlands, though. That'll be cool. And then, obviously, the Copa America. But I did see Ole being mentioned as a potential candidate for the national team.
For which national team?
Canada.
Ole to Canada? No chance.
Well, he's been. I think he's been interviewed. I don't know if he'll obviously take the job. I think him was interviewed. Jesse March was interviewed as well. I like Jesse March actually. I think that would be a good fit. He obviously knows Canada because of what his experience with Montreal, even though it wasn't too great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a couple names out there. I wonder what the search is gonna look like. I think we need. We can't. It's got to be a hit. It can't be a miss this time. It has to be.
We can't afford a miss, so we're gonna lose all the progress we made with these, with like our golden generation.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, Nancy's not gonna leave Columbus because he just got there and he's winning. But I'm saying if we could, especially if Canada could give him an offer, he couldn't refuse, which we probably cannot do. That would have been one of my favorite candidates to go through. But I wonder who else. I mean, I don't mind Ole. I wouldn't mind Ole. But
he's not coming. I feel like he wants a club. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. The search continues. But the games are coming soon. So they gotta figure it out soon as well.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. All right. Any last words?
No, that was it, actually.
Are you gonna celebrate if Arsenal win the league? What are you gonna do?
I'll be very happy. I don't know about celebration because I'm obviously not. I don't know what I would do in terms of celebration. I would jump around a little bit, but
you're gonna call me and put it in my face. That's what I'm expecting.
Wait, what? Put it in my face? Hey, yo, that's crazy.
I did not go there like that. All right.
But yeah, I will FaceTime you and let you know about it. If that helps.
Good thing it's not gonna happen.
That's crazy. Yo.
Alright, yo, we have to plan to watch the games together next week though.
Yeah, we'll figure out the logistics. It's at 9:30, so
it's Mother's Day. I think it's Mother's Day, right? So
mom's gonna have
maybe to. a little watch party and then some Mother's Day action. Not between us though.
Hey. If Mother's Day action, Kevin, what does that even mean? All
right, we're wrapping it up. Episode 110 in the book. If you made it this far, you're welcome, but we really appreciate it. Thanks for rocking with us. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed your time here. And yes, we're still surprised, but hey, thanks for having us. And we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace. Mother's Day action. Oh my god.
Why you gotta make it like that?
Well, you're crazy, bro. Mother's Day action is wild.
I did not mean it like that.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. The first one was wild too. To put it in my face, that's you gotta chill. You gotta chill, Cap. You gotta chill, bro.